Hello and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Mark.
My friend Mark decided to join today. Jimmy is actually out. He's doing whatever. I know he was just at his Power Rangers conference, but I think he's still out. So my friend Mark, who we used to be a coworker of mine, now we're just good friends, is also a King of the Hill fan. Unlike Jimmy or myself, didn't grow up in Texas, but can still appreciate the jokes.
That's right. I've actually met a real-life Boomhauer from Kentucky, so it works out.
Yeah, you did kind of grow up, I would imagine, in a place that is maybe somewhat similar to Arlen in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah, I would say so. There's a lot of things that the Hill family is very reminiscent. Like, there is some stuff that feels very just obviously Texas, but a lot of it is just middle-class America.
Yep, and there is one episode that we're going to do later where Hank actually does at one point say to the guys, I've always wanted to go to Indiana. Is that weird?
It is weird.
I kind of wonder if, like, maybe that's a Mike Judge thing. Like, if Mike Judge has always wanted to go to Indiana, or at least at the time he did, and that just somehow made it into the script. Or why he chose that state out of all the states Hank wants to go to. Like, I know Hank wants to go to every state except for California, according to one of the episodes, but still.
Yeah, that's a good question. Why Indiana? Why not Ohio or Iowa or some other random Midwest place?
Normally, we also do a quick recap of our weekend, this being a long weekend, too, and it usually gets us talking about, like, just random stuff. So, you know, on one of the earlier episodes, you heard Jimmy mention that Jurassic World Dominion was the best comedy of the summer, and I know you'd seen it too, and I finally got around to seeing it yesterday because my big rule was I wasn't going to spend money to see it. I was going to wait until it was available on streaming, and it was on Peacock, so I went ahead and watched it. And, you know, I didn't know it'd be possible, but they actually made a Jurassic Park movie where the dinosaurs were inconsequential to the plot.
Totally inconsequential. Like, they're just kind of like a background. It was like later seasons of The Walking Dead. It's like, oh yeah, there's still zombies around. Like, don't worry about that. It's not important.
That's exactly what I was thinking the whole time. Like, they could replace the dinosaurs with tigers or piranhas or really anything, and the story would have still worked out exactly the same way. Like, the fact that they were dinosaurs had almost nothing to do with how the story worked out.
Yep. It's a shame, really. I was pretty excited about that movie. Like, a big Jurassic Park fan. So, just thinking back on the original and having the full cast there coming back, so disappointed.
Yeah. And the whole plot. I mean, there were some parts where I just couldn't even figure out what movie they were trying to make. Like, that whole, you know, spoiler alert to anybody who watched it, but who hasn't watched it. But I might also just be saving you, like, 2 hours of your life by going over some of it. So, like, the whole Malta scene just felt like it was, like, a Bourne movie, but just that happened to have dinosaurs in it.
Yeah, totally. Like, for some reason, I was thinking Uncharted, just maybe because I also watched that movie recently and was disappointed. But it felt, like, very much an Uncharted movie at that point.
Yeah, so it just seems like somebody was like, let's make an action movie, but let's just kind of throw dinosaurs into the background.
Yeah. Terrible.
I kind of like that they fixed the laser from Jurassic World Forbidden Kingdom, because I thought that was, like, the dumbest thing. Like, in Jurassic World Forbidden Kingdom, like, I guess they trained those raptors to where you point a laser at somebody, and then they will attack whoever the laser is pointed at. But it's like, if you're already pointing a laser at somebody, like, why don't you just shoot them?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like, why have this extra step in there? I don't get it. It takes a lot of effort to train these dinosaurs.
Yeah, now it seems like, I guess, somehow the laser tags them with a scent, so the dinosaurs will just continue to track them. I don't think that's how lasers work.
Yeah, good luck getting a scent through that laser system.
And they played some of the big hits too, like the T-Rex coming out of nowhere in the third act and all of that. I was a little upset that it didn't happen. I was really, really, really hoping for It's a Unix System to come up. I mean, they kind of did. Like, they had the whole, this system's just like the system at the park or something like that, which was, I guess, a little wink and nod to that, but it wasn't the same.
Yeah, definitely not. Like, without Lex going, ooh, it's an interactive CD-ROM. Like, okay, great.
For context, we both work in tech, and sometimes when we watch movies together, we point out, like, the flaws in technology. Like, technology just seems to be, it seems to be a plot device in action movies in the same way magic works in, like, fantasy movies. Just like, if you can't explain how something happens, just throw out, you know, oh, I cast a spell and it protected me from the dragon. Or the same thing, like, oh, how did you get these credentials? Oh, I just hacked them or whatever. And I always like the scenes where they're like, okay, how long is it going to take for you to hack into that mainframe? 20 minutes. You got 5. It's like, no, that's not how this works.
Yeah. And in reality, it's just you click a button and you wait there for drinking a coffee for 20 minutes while the computer hacks in for you. This feverish typing on the keyboard, that's not realistic.
I always love the ones where they have to hack faster and you'll have like 2 hackers sharing a keyboard.
Oh my gosh, was that CSI, I think, that did that? That was awesome.
Like, they were trying to hack against another hacker, and then so all of a sudden it's like, oh, we don't need 1 hacker, we need 2 hackers, but not on what on 2 separate computers. We'll just have them on the same computer, just sharing the same keyboard.
Yeah. My favorite thing I learned in college doing a CS degree was one of the professors said something, two women aren't going to make a baby in half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so I just remember that, where you can't speed up by adding more people. You can't make this project go faster. You can't hack quicker because you got someone else, especially on the same keyboard, working away.
Yep. I love in the movie when he has to delete like some files or whatever, and it tells him, oh, you can't delete them, they're on the server. So then he just walks over to the server room and logs into a terminal. I'm like, I think he just made an argument against the entire cloud storage industry.
Right. Yeah, come on. We're back to hosting stuff locally. What's going on here?
Yeah. Or what was the movie that we saw that one time? The one with Ryan Reynolds where he's a video game character, Free Guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the scene where he's destroying all the, like, he's taking an axe to all the servers and it's shutting down things. Like, there's a few flaws here. First of all, like, Are like specific buildings hosted on specific servers? Because like he'll take an axe to this server, and then all of a sudden like this block goes away in the world, and then this block. Another problem is like this is a global. This is supposedly like the most popular online simulator known to mankind in this universe. Really, like the entire thing is hosted in the server room where their HQ is.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously, like, was AWS not invented in this world? Like, yeah. I don't get it.
They would have at least had a data center, like, on the other coast. They would have had a data center in Europe somewhere, like in Ireland or something. Then they would have had a data center in, like, Singapore.
Oh, yeah,
at the totally. Very least.
Yeah, and, like, rendering different parts of the world of the engine, like, on different servers, like that, mm-hmm. Yeah. That just is another level of complexity. It blows my mind.
Yeah, there's, I mean, I get it. It makes the movie work, but I think it's to like, I always feel like it's like being a lawyer watching law in a movie and being like, oh, this doesn't like, or being a doctor watching stuff and seeing things that are like, this doesn't work in real life at all. Like as a tech person, you just sit there and you're thinking to yourself like, how does that, no, that's not how it works at all.
Yeah. I like that they started to point those things out in TV shows and in movies, mm-hmm. and stuff now, especially like the lawyer stuff. I think it was an episode of Brooklyn Nine-Nine where the main character was going into the courtroom and he's like, now the lawyer's like, don't do any of the stuff you see on TV. Don't say that you object or don't say that you can't handle the truth. And anything you said seen on TV, don't do it. It's not going to help your cause. It's not real.
That reminds me, and I'll have to share it later. Maybe I'll put it in the notes. It has nothing to do with King of the Hill, but I saw maybe a month ago on social media a guy who was trying to represent himself in a criminal trial or whatever. And it's clear, he thinks all lawyers do is, speak in a certain cadence like you see in Law and Order or whatever. So, he's not making any sense, but he's saying, what the people here will learn is the truth. It's just a funny video to watch. And he's also a young guy. He can't be older than 26 or whatever. So,
I think I saw that on Reddit. I saw a screenshot of someone's reaction when he said he was going to represent himself, and it was watch people die inside or something.
Also, that happens in one of the King of the Hill episodes. He's the judge is as an officer of the court, but as a concerned human being, I'd advise you not to represent yourself, Mr. Gribble.
That's right. That was against the cigarette company, right?
Yeah.
That was a good one.
That is. There's a lot. And that's one thing we talk about all the time on this podcast. I know this is your first time joining us, but we always talk about how this is a show that's just evergreen. I mean, it's been off the air for 13 years, but I can still just pick it up and enjoy it. And there's so many quotable moments. Rarely a day happens where I don't say it, quote somebody that I don't like Peggy Hill or something, Escuchame or something like that.
Oh yeah. You see it all the time on the internet too. Almost every single just funny thread, you see someone who's responding with some King of the Hill quote, mm-hmm. pocket sand or, just something off the wall out of nowhere. I love it.
Yep. Everybody. And I feel like once you put that, nobody's confused. But maybe there are obviously people who have no idea what you're talking about, but generally speaking, everybody's on board. They're oh yeah, I know that reference. What is it in Avengers where he's oh, I get that reference when he talks about the yeah. It's there's a lot of people doing that. And then there's just so many things that are so I feel like all of us, no matter where we live, wherever we grew up or whatever, we all have met somebody somebody in that show. Either it's a friend or a neighbor or a spouse's friend or parents or whatever. We all know somebody like the people on Rainy Street.
Oh yeah, totally.
And I think that's what makes it also pretty relatable.
Yeah, that just goes to show how easy digestible the show is, and it just crosses so many people across the United States, and everyone I think really enjoyed it. I mean, it lasted 13 seasons. You can't stick around unless you're doing something right.
And there's still rumors that'll come back. I know they brought Mike Judge and his production company back to make a new Beavis and Butthead. And they're supposedly in talks of doing a King of the Hill. I don't know if it's going to be a reboot. One of the things that concerns me is that they, I guess one of the directors or writers in an interview said that if they do it, they're going to age everyone up. So it's going to be 10 years have passed. So we'll have a Hank in his 50s and a Bobby in his early 20s or whatever. And
oh man, I don't know about an early 20s Bobby. That's terrifying to me.
Yeah. That's my thing is I feel what made the show work was the characters being who they are. Bobby being an impressionable teenager and Hank trying to figure out the world and figure out how to raise him and stuff. All of a sudden, Hank is almost a retiree and, Bobby is now out on his own at 25 and everything like that. And I don't know, Connie's doing whatever. It's just, I feel like it'd be a completely different show.
Oh yeah, definitely. And Hank would be the cotton at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if I could handle that.
Do you think Bobby and Connie would still be together if they did age them up?
In real life or in the theory of the show.
In the continuity of the show.
I would say so. I feel in real life, probably not, but in the continuity of the show, I really feel like they put them together forever. The question is just going to be, like Connie is so driven and motivated in life and Bobby isn't. No. So like, how will they handle that conflict? And is Connie going to be going to Houston to do different orchestras, shows, and playing as a musician, and Bobby's doing stand-up comedian? Like, I know that was a dream of his at one point in one episode.
Maybe
that, or does she just completely give up that life and just have kids?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe it'll be a Nancy and Dale type situation where Nancy's the breadwinner and Dale's like he's kind of got his side gigs, but it's clear like he's not earning any actual money. So like maybe it's the same thing where Connie is like the bread. Yeah, Connie's the breadwinner and Bobby's just like working on his failed stand-up comedy or whatever, and where he gets like, where if he makes like $20 on as an opener or something, it's a big win for him.
He has Dooley in the audience, and that's about it.
You suck. But yeah, so this episode we're going to do is one of my favorites. I always say it, but this one easily has probably some of the most quotes that I've ever used. And it's also, it's just funny seeing how oblivious Hank and Peggy are. Like, even if you've never seen the episode before, there are clear signs of to what's happening. And the fact that they're not catching on until, like, it's in their face and there's no denying it is super, it's just super funny. So this episode's called Ho Yeah. And the name should not surprise you when we talk about it. So we'll start from the beginning. We're at Strickland Propane. Hank is on a call with a customer, and in a traditional Hank Hill fashion, you know, he's trying to be a good salesperson or have excellent customer service. And he says, you know, oh, I'm sorry that the new girl shorted you on propane. Even though it was her mistake, I'm going to mark it on my record too.
I'm surprised he didn't take it right out of his paycheck. You know, like that's totally a Hank Hill move.
That would absolutely be something Hank would do. Just, you know, get like he dock his own pay for what somebody else did.
Yeah, totally.
Peggy shows up to Strickland Propane, and she's expected to go to lunch with Hank, but Hank can't go because now he's got to go drive over and fix this mistake. And, you know, Hank's talking negatively about the new girl who made the mistake in the first place. Like, yeah, she's as dumb as a charcoal briquette. And then she comes in, her name's Tammy, and she's dressed very scantily, has huge hair, and she's clearly not the brightest bulb in the drawer. Like, and that's being very, very generous. So, you know, she comes in and she's just like, you know, she kind of sounds like she's, believe it or not, she kind of sounds dumber than Luann when she speaks. But she's just like, yeah, some dude came in here and he was talking way too fast. And he was talking about propane this and gas that and heat this. And it's just funny because she's just clearly not there. And then, of course, you know, Hank introduces her. It's like, oh, this is Tammy Duvall, the new junior customer service manager. And then Peggy's like, huh, yeah, you look a lot like the last girl that Hank hired. Of course, she's dead now. That Buck hired. So it's clear Buck has a type. He just hires the ditzy ones that he wants to hook up with later. And this is clearly one of those cases.
So deadpan, Peggy. Like, yeah. I love that. Of course, she's dead now.
Yeah.
Just one of my favorite lines right there.
There's a lot of good Peggy's in this one. Peggy-isms, if you will. Like, she'll... I like how she's planning to go to lunch with Hank. Hank can't go. So then Tammy's like, oh, I'll go to lunch with you. And then Peggy just stands there and thinks and whatnot. She's like, sorry, I'm just trying to think if I have anything else that I need to do. And I'm thinking, like... I mean, yes, she's like, okay, let's go. But at the same time, it's like, I imagine you've already had this hour blocked out.
Yeah, she was definitely looking for an excuse to not go with her to lunch. Like, and just the deer in the headlights look that Peggy had too when Tammy asked her, just her eyes widened and she just was quiet. You never see Peggy caught off guard like that.
Yeah.
Love it.
And also, if you're going to lie, don't make it so obvious. Like, you could have just easily said, well, I guess since I'm not seeing Hank, I get better catch up on groceries or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, they do get lunch at a French restaurant called Magic Pan, and Tammy is not interested in anything she sees. Clearly, she's struggling with the menu, and she's like, you know, what do you order if you don't know what you want to eat? And, you have a French wife, so I'm pretty sure if she saw this episode, it probably would have made her cringe when Peggy was like, oh, I always order the Crepe Suzette or La Crepe Suzette.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was awful. I love that, too. Like, oh, you speak French. It's just, ooh, un poquito.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Response in Spanish.
Oh, my God, Peggy.
I'm a substitute Spanish teacher. Well, and then Tammy's like, oh, your mom must be proud. It's like, no, I could actually be the queen of Egypt, and my mom wouldn't care. And then Tammy's like, oh, it just sounds like my mom. She doesn't care about anything I do. But maybe it's because I dropped out of high school. Or maybe it's because I crashed her vet. It's like, oh, you told her Corvette? Not her Chevette, which, Chevette. Which makes more sense given her background.
Yep.
But yeah, Peggy's just like, oh, you would have never, you know, you would have never dropped out had I been your mom or been your teacher. And then in like the most unclassy way, Tammy, like, the waiter walks by, and she smacks him on the butt and says, hey, Pierre, how about a couple of Diet Cokes? And Peggy doesn't even accost her anything. She's like, oh, Pierre, well, look who's talking French now.
Oh, I love that. Peggy's so clueless. So great.
So I feel like at least Hank would have been like, that's not appropriate behavior, Tammy.
Yeah, exactly. Not very professional.
So apparently they're making fast friends because Peggy has apparently invited Tammy over for food, and they bring Thai food, which I'm guessing is the first time they've ever ate it, because Hank does not look thrilled by what they're putting on his plate. But it's like, oh, the Thai food was Tammy's idea, but the idea to take it out was mine. So I like how Peggy still has to find a way to attach herself to everything.
Oh, yeah. She needs to take some credit somewhere.
Yeah. There was no way she was going to let Tammy get all the credits. Like, but it was my idea to order it for takeout. And then we get a good Luann-ism here. She's like, oh, I would love to travel to Tyrabia one day and see those pyramids.
That's like the only Luann line, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
But Tammy's impressed by Luann's knowledge and that she goes to community college and everything. And, you know, Tammy's like, I've never even finished a book, which, you know, I think everybody watching the show is like, no, really? And then Peggy's like, you know, if you're really serious about getting your GED, I'm happy to help you. Let's go meet at your place tomorrow. And, you know, she's like, oh, my place? Well, you know, I got kicked out of my place yesterday and I'm living out of my car, but we can meet at Starbucks. And, you know, Peggy wanting to be helpful is like, oh, nonsense. You could stay in the den. And Tammy gets a page and says, hey, I got to take a call. So she walks out and she's like, it's long distance, which to our younger audiences out there, you actually used to have to pay a different price to call long distance.
Oh, geez. I didn't even register that when I saw it. I was just was normal to me. Didn't even think about that.
I mean, I had out-of-state family, and I remember the big thing is, like, we could only call them on the weekend because it was cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Nights and weekend, like after 8 or 9 p.m.?
Yep. Yeah. So it was like, unless it was, like, a life-or-death emergency, when I was a kid, you don't call grandma and grandpa during the weekday. You call them on the weekend when it's cheaper. And like you used to actually have to have, I remember you used to have like two separate phone services for local calls and long distance calls.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That actually reminds me of a different King of the Hill episode when, I forget where he went, but Bobby went somewhere and he called Tawny with his long distance phone card from Tony Danza. That's not a thing anymore, is it?
No. You can buy SIM cards now, but yeah, it is kind of like looking at a time capsule too, like watching the episode. Also, like watching them go to like video stores and stuff like that. It's definitely a time capsule for people our age. Maybe if there's any like Xennials who watch the show or listen to the podcast, they might be a little confused by some of the stuff. But I remember a lot of that very well.
Oh yeah, I remember doing calling cards whenever we went on like school trips to like Washington D.C. Mm-hmm. or whatever. calling cards to call back home to mom or to the girlfriend or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Or call collect. That was always the thing too. Like way before. Granted, I started to become like I started to come up in the age when cell phones started to become more common. So like I did have like my Nokia flip phone or whatever when I was in high school. But when I'm talking to some of my friends who went to high school like in the 2000s or the 90s and stuff, they'll always tell me like, oh yeah, when it was time, you know, there's no cell phone. So when it was time to get picked up or whatnot, you would just do a collect call and you would have like a fake name or whatnot. It's like, you'll get a call saying like, call from mom, it's time to pick me up. Do you accept the charges? Yep. No.
Oh yeah, totally did that. So there's no phone call needed. You still got the message across to mom and dad. It's time to come pick you up at wherever you're hanging out. Oh yeah, I totally did that.
Yep. So that's just funny though. We had to live back in the day. Now kids just don't know how hard it is.
Seeing kids in like elementary school with cell phones, it's just weird to me still.
Yeah. Or I sound like an old fogey one day just being like, back in my day, we didn't get stuff straight to our iPad. We actually had to drive to a store and they had shelves and shelves of movies.
I still have like a Palm Pilot floating around here somewhere that doesn't have internet access like at all. You had to plug it in to like transfer an app to it.
Yeah, I probably still have one of my old iPods like that where before the iPods had Wi-Fi and like the only way you could do it is you'd have to like you plug in a USB and sync all of your music.
Yep.
Good times. Naturally, Peggy wants to keep helping her. But Hank's not happy. Hank's one already, you know, they just got rid of Luann. So they, he's upset about that. He's like, it took 2 years, to get rid of Luann or get rid of this one. And which is actually funny, as a side note, I think it was Jim Dotrieve, one of the guys on King of the Hill, he released like on YouTube, maybe 6 months ago or something, a deleted scene from one of the original final episodes. Like the original final episode was supposed to be for season 11. Then they got renewed for 2 more seasons and stuff. So Lucky's wedding suit, like they're in the deleted scene at the end of the episode, Hank kind of alludes to the fact that the entire series of King of the Hill took place within 1 year. Cause he's like, oh man, that's just to think a year ago, Luann's mom was stabbed her daddy and she moved in with us or whatever. So, which obviously has a lot of continuity errors because I'm sure there's been at least 3 separate Christmas episodes and stuff like that. But it's still, maybe that's why they deleted it because they're just like, no, this makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't go that route. It does kind of cheapen the former seasons to kind of retcon all of that. And it, even the ones where they were saying that, like when Bill stole the tank, that was just a dream.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just leave it alone. Let it be. You don't need to go back and try to explain some of that stuff.
Yeah, they did try to exploit a lot of things like, oh, and then Hank being born in Texas or being born in New York, that never happened too. And yeah, that was just not dumb. I like to pretend that everything that happened is canon. Well, most everything that happened is canon. I think with the newer episodes, they broke the canon of the older episodes, but still.
Yeah.
So Tammy's staying in the den. We go outside. Hank's cleaning his truck. He's cleaning his truck because his dad is getting it to a swap meet. So he's taking Denton, Dean, you know, inventory. Because let's be honest, Cotton is probably not the most cautious person when it comes to things, especially things that aren't his. So he's probably like, whatever he's buying, the canoe or whatever, is just going to be haphazardly thrown in there.
Hitler's canoe.
Yes, exactly. A stranger comes up to pick up Tammy. Dale has this nice little conversation about like, oh, she has a nice can, but she doesn't have a can as nice as Nancy's. Huh, Hank, what do you think? Do you think her can is as nice as Nancy's? Which, obviously, that kind of conversation, like, that's just not something Hank ever wants to talk about. So,
no. Oh, yeah. Totally makes him uncomfortable, all of that. Yeah. I love this scene.
And then Hank is like, well, I'm not happy about her right now anyway, because she's just running around the house with those mini skirts and that pager's going off at all hours and she comes in at all hours of the night. And then,
totally oblivious.
Yeah. then, you know, Tammy comes up, it's like, oh, how do my girls look? And Hank's like, oh, I wouldn't know. Then Peggy's...
That's the best part, though, is because he actually looks down. Like, you can see his head look down at her rack, and then he goes, oh, I wouldn't know. Yeah. I wouldn't do that. Great.
While she's going up to see the guy who pulled up, Peggy notices, like, cause Peggy's doing gardening or some kind of yard work, and she's like, oh, I thought I was your friend. It's like, yeah, you're my friend. This is just, this is one of my old friends from Oklahoma City. And Peggy's like, oh, well, how about your new friend meet your old friend? She's like, definitely, yeah, definitely next time. And then, you know, Tammy goes and leans forward and talks to the guy in the car. He's like, so are you still charging your Oklahoma City rates? And it's like, yep, $100 a throw. And Hank's like, I hate to say it, but I suspect Tammy is a freeloader. And Peggy's like, no, I know people, and Tammy's good people.
I love that, too, how it was almost like we thought that Hank had figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and it was like, I'm afraid. I really think that maybe Tammy is, we kind of get the audience expecting he's figured it out that she's a prostitute. But no, he says freeloader. She's a freeloader. He still doesn't get it. He still has mm-hmm. no idea what Tammy's doing.
And that's just kind of showing how innocent Hank is. He just doesn't. And we see more and more and more examples of it. Like here, after the break, Hank goes into the kitchen. He's like, oh, she took the best piece of ham. I was saving it for Lady Bird. So, you know, his unhealthy relationship with his dog.
Yeah, to save the best piece of ham for the dog over the human. Very Hank.
Tammy shows up, and she's back home, and Peggy's like, oh, I thought you were out with a friend. It's like, oh, he was only in town for the hour. And Hank's like, wait, why is he only in town? But then Tammy cuts him off and says, oh, here you go. Here's $50. You guys have been so great to me, and, you know, this is the least I can do. And then Peggy's, like, kind of gloats and's like, oh, Peggy Hill won again, you know, because she wasn't a freeloader. She paid money. I do like the only in town for an hour. Like, there's another, like, glaring hint right there, and nobody's catching on.
Yep. So innocent, these hills.
Yep. Strickland, at Strickland Propane, we see Buck is like, you know, Buck is being Buck, creepy old guy, and having, you know, he's standing behind her as he's having her fill up the copy machine. It's like, oh, can you check the bottom tray? And she's like, no, it looks fine. It's like, well, top it off. And then Buck's like, you know, I have a private propane retreat at my lake house if you want to join me this weekend or whatever. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm busy this weekend, most weekends, and kind of winks at Hank. And so Hank's like, oh, okay, she's like, she's legit or whatever. So we go to Hank and Peggy's room.
He has some respect for her there. Like, yeah. he's like, wow, she turned down Buck. That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. He even says so, like, when they're in the bedroom, like, Hank and Peggy are just lying down and getting ready for bed and chatting and stuff. And Hank's like, oh, I must have got her wrong, because she turned down Buck, and, you know, not just anybody could turn him down. And Peggy says, she's, you know, Peggy's like, oh, well, Tammy's too smart to go after a married man. And then Hank is like, oh, you know what? I think she's lonely, and it's not fair that we're waving her happy marriage around her. You know what? I'm going to introduce her to the single guys on my route. And Peggy's like, she'll make a great wife, but she needs somebody who can hold her interest, because none of her dates last longer than an hour.
Oh, boy.
it's just funny. Like, all the hints are there. They just can't pick it up.
Yeah. Still not getting it.
Hank goes to one of my favorite, like, small recurring characters, Lane Pratley, to deliver the propane. And Hank introduces her to Lane, and they kind of, I guess, start talking. And Hank's like, well, I'm going to go check the tank while you two get to talk. And they start talking, then all of a sudden Hank butts in. He's like, I think I'll check the gauges too. And Lane's like, that's fine.
It's fine. Get out of here. Like, Lane knew immediately what Tammy was. Like, uh-huh. Immediately he saw her in the truck, and he's like, oh yeah, this is what's happening. Hank's still clueless.
Yep. And of course, Peggy is taking her to the bookstore. They're going to the mall where there's a bookstore. and they get a GED test book to prepare her. And then also they buy her Michael Crichton's Congo, because this will be like her first big book that she's read. And she's like, wow, this looks like the book that people read on planes. They walk by, I'm guessing, like, I wasn't paying too close attention, but I'm guessing it's like maybe a low-level Adam and Eve or something where you can buy like sexy clothes, but it's not like too overt. Because I feel like if there were like devices or stuff there, Peggy would have caught on or seen, or something would have been up. So I think, but it was definitely like all the clothes that they were displaying were like sexy clothes, not just like, oh, I'm going to the store clothes. But they walk by and there's some, you know, mannequins there with the clothes on, and Cammy's like, oh, you know, you would look gorgeous in that. And Peggy's like, oh no, I can never wear something that bold. And Tammy's like, come on, you got the legs for it, show them off. And, you know, that kind of pushes Peggy to try to do it. It's like, okay, and I'll take you to the makeup counter.
You just have to compliment Peggy and you'll get her to do anything. She's just eats that up.
Mm-hmm. Back at the Hill House, Cotton shows up, gives Hank the key, and makes sure he knows that the wife is not allowed in the Cadillac under no circumstances unless it's in the back of the trunk. And then Hank, you can tell all Hank's just kind of over it, because he's like, I know, Dad. He's not even like, yeah, that's my wife you're talking before. About.
Yeah, he's definitely heard this one before.
And he's like, please make sure you clean the bed out. I don't want any dirt on Hitler's canoe, which is an item that shows up a few times in the series.
Hitler have a canoe?
I don't know. I imagine maybe it was just for leisure. Like, I don't, you know, I doubt in the early 1900s, I mean, they're not at as advanced as we are now, but even then, I doubt they're sailing canoes down the river while they were invading people.
Yeah, I feel like it's just one of those things where it's like someone had an old canoe and they're just like, yeah, let's put a swastika on it and say it's Hitler's canoe. Done.
We can get some war vets to buy it.
Exactly.
The doorbell rings. Tammy is still getting ready and asks Hank to check. And I think Cotton immediately recognizes her as a working girl, because he's like, you know, oh, wow, I think I've seen you before. Have you worked? And he just keeps, like, listing places like Bangkok, Philippines, Vegas, Houston. And she's like, no, no, no. And it's like, oh, I'm pretty sure I'd remember you. And he's like, oh, don't be too sure. I've been known to give women amnesia. So I think Cotton is, like, just immediately he's already aware of the fact.
Oh, yeah. Cotton picked up on it. Of course he did. He can sense that miles away.
Yeah. Hank goes to the door, and it's not Lane Prattley. It's Mr. Burton, another person on his route. And Hank's confused. He's like, oh, is your propane tank all right? I just checked this, you know, earlier today. And he's like, oh, no, no, it's fine. I have a date with Tammy. And he's like, oh, okay. So he goes back and he talks to Tammy because he's confused. Why is Mr. Burton here when he has a date with when you have a date with Lane? He's like, oh, I have a date with both of them. And then Hank's like, oh, there's nothing wrong with a lot of suitors. That's how they used to date back in the day, just like mom. And I like when Cotton leaves, he's like, okay, Dad, just don't bring us another Japanese skull. It's just going to gather dust. Which, again, it's just an example of like how, like, Hank should, like, you get to a point where you know somebody so well that you know their mannerisms, and like, it doesn't even shock you anymore. You're just like, okay, can you just not do this for an hour or whatever?
Yeah, he knows what his dad's gonna come back with. That's no surprise anymore. Just, yeah, try to get ahead of it. Don't bring it back another Japanese skull. Come on. We have too many as it is.
Mm-hmm. Tammy does give them some gifts. She gives them next week's rent in cash, of course. And then she gives them a gift box, just a little something for them being so rad. And then she displays the new and improved Peggy. And this is like one of the few times we see Hank, like, legitimately, I guess, turned on or whatever. He's like, yeah, I like that a lot.
He called her hot.
Yeah. You look hot. Which I feel like is probably the only time he's actually... I'd have to rewatch all the episodes, but I feel pretty confident that's like maybe the only time he's ever used that like for real, like not as a joke or whatever.
The only other time that actually came to mind when I watched this episode when he said that she looked hot was when Peggy got baptized again. And so when they dunked her into the river,
yes.
And he's like, Peggy, I can see your whatnot.
Yep. Tammy leaves and Hank opens his gift and it's a pimp hat, but he doesn't realize that he's just, it's a really nice hat. He puts it on and Peggy comes to his side and he holds her and he's like, oh, look at it. We look like two movie stars. Which also reminds me, I think, just how innocent Hank and Peggy are. Like, there's another episode. I don't think we're going to cover it in our run, but there's an episode where they're like watching Boomer's house, and they find like a camera in the bedroom, and like they don't realize what it's for. They're like, "Huh, Boomer has a camera in his bedroom," and then they're just playing with it. Like, this is Hank Hill with the news.
So innocent.
Yeah. In the alley, Dale is like jealous of the hat. You think Dale's going to like point out something to us? Like, okay, Hank, somebody's just got to say it. So you feel like, oh, the conspiracy theory guy, he has like some theories about Terry or something. But no, instead he's just like, I am jealous of that hat.
Yeah, we think Dale's going to be the one to point out that Hank is essentially becoming Tammy's pimp. But no, he's just jealous of the hat.
Yep. But apparently Hank is wearing it because he's trying to break in the felt, so he calls, so he says.
That's an excuse.
Bill asks if he might have a shot with Tammy, and Hank's like, you're a nice guy, Bill, but she is a very picky woman. You know, I've introduced her to some of the best men in Ireland, and none of her relationships seem to last more than a day. In the background, then you also see another car's pulled up, and then Tammy's leading in, getting ready to get in the car, and then Hank's counting the money that she gave him for rent money. So it's like, okay, things are happening. Next scene, we see Hank driving around in his dad's Cadillac car, and he's wearing his hat, and then he pulls up next to the Reverend. He's like, Reverend Stroop, and she's like, Hank? Hank continues driving and he sees like some guy is harassing Tammy on the street, on the sidewalk. So Hank like pulls over right away and says, you never put your hand on a lady. Now what's this all about? And Tammy's like, this guy owes me money. And Hank's like, give her the money. He's like, but it's like, look, if you mess with her, you mess with me. Now give her the money. Now you see like the guy, he pans over at Hank wearing his feathered hat, and then he looks at the Cadillac car, and he's like, kind of putting two together. He's like, okay, man, it's cool. He just gives him the money.
Definitely thinks he's the pimp.
Mm-hmm. But Hank's still completely oblivious to it. And what's funny is, like, that's because Hank's just such a good old Texas boy, like, that would just naturally be his response if he saw, like, a man handling a woman or something. So it just happens to work out that way to where it looks like he's a pimp because he's in the hat and driving a Cadillac. In the library, Peggy and Tammy are dressed up. Tammy dressed up kind of in her normal prostitute-y outfit, and then Peggy in the outfit that she picked for her. And they're going to study, but, you know, obviously people are like looking at him like, why are these women dressed like this in a public library of all places? And you see like these two nerdy guys saying like, oh, look at the brunette, she look at how big her feet are, she must be a guy. It's like, but she doesn't have an Adam's apple, oh, they have surgery to take care of that or something. Which I guess I don't know that that joke would fly if they were to make it in 2022, but back then it was still pretty funny. But
yeah, that's a little more sensitive topic these days. But back then,
though it actually would probably still fit because I don't foresee Arlen, and we covered on a previous episode. We covered the Peggy Horror Picture Show, and I'm like, I don't really foresee. I feel like that is creative liberty there because, you know, small town Texas. There's no way they have enough crossdressers or a trans community to warrant having a business that specializes in them.
That's true.
But specialize in catering to them. Like, I'm sure there might be a few, but I'm guarantee a lot of people, especially if this was taking place in like the 90s or 2000s, are, if they are, they're really in the closet about it.
Oh yeah. So and even then the guy says that he's done worse.
Yeah. Peggy walks by, sees Mike Soto and his mom, Mike Soto being a student that is often referred to in the episode, but not often, or in the episodes rather, but not often seen. And his mom's like, you're a teacher? And Peggy's like, yeah, it's like, that's how I know Mike. And then Tammy's like, what? There's some rule against a teacher dressing up like this? And, you know, Mike Soto, 13-year-old boy, is like turned on and he's just kind of staring at her. And then his mom just quickly shuffles him away.
Oh, yeah. I love the Mike Soto character. Like, just this little nerdy kid who's just like, he's always doing something. He's always there in the background, quietly.
I feel like he's more referenced than seen, because, like, there'll be a lot of episodes, especially like in Bobby or Connie heavy episodes where they're at school, they'll make references to Mike Soto does this or Mike Soto does that. But like you almost you hear about him way more than you actually see him.
Yeah, the Longhorn episode is the one I'm thinking of, where Bobby becomes the Texas Longhorn.
Yes,
Mike Soto was in all of the yearbook photos, and he was even trying out to be the Longhorn before Bobby got it. Yeah, that was probably the heaviest Mike Soto episode I can think of, and he still wasn't even, I don't even think he talked in it. Like, he didn't have any lines. He was just referred to the whole time.
Mm-hmm. So we're back at Hank's driveway. He's working on the caddy, cleaning it up, because that's just what Hank would do. And another caddy pulls up, and a pimp steps out. It's Alabaster Jones, the Mac Daddy of OKC, voiced by Snoop Dogg. You know, he comes up, and he's like, I am Tammy Duval's manager. And then Hank says, well, no, I'm her manager now. Well, her assistant manager. And then, you know, Alabaster's like, no, you don't understand me. Tammy is my hoe. And then he's like, what? I think you're talking about a different Tammy Duval. The Tammy Duval I know works at Strictly Propane. And then Alabaster's like, doesn't believe. Hank's like, yeah, I know about this propane scam you have, driving her around, showing her off in your caddy, shaking down people for money. And so he essentially thinks the propane business is like a front for his prostitution business. And then that's at that point when Hank just starts to have the flashback of him wearing the hat, driving the caddy, shaking people down, getting the money, all that stuff. And then that's when he finally has the realization that, oh, Tammy's a prostitute.
Finally, Hank.
Yeah.
Episode's almost over.
Yeah, and like somebody literally just had to spell it out for him to know that.
Yep.
Yeah. Alabaster's like, he wants her back in 1 hour or he'll have to deal with him. And he leaves, and the guys are in the alley and have seen everything happen. And Dale's like, oh, I bet you thought it seemed like the sweet life at first, but, you know, then what happens? You wind up in a silk noose or whatever. And then Hank's just like, Dale, shut up. And he's like, I got to go find Tammy. And as he jumps into the caddy to drive away, Bill's like, Hank, bring me back a redhead.
Oh, Bill. I love that Dale is acting too like he knew all along when he was also just as clueless the entire time.
Hank goes to the library, finds Tammy, confronts her, and, you know, he's like trying to be covert's like, Tammy's a prostitute. It's like, what? And then Hank's like, Tammy's a hooker. And everybody looks over. And then Peggy's like, is that true? And she's like, yeah. And then Hank asks her to get her hooker stuff out of the house. And they all head to the car. And then as Peggy leaves, now she's embarrassed because she's like, oh, I'm wearing hooker clothes. And as she leaves, Mike Soto's like, bye, Mrs. Hill. And she's like, oh, bye, Mike.
Bye, Mike. So sheepish. She's trying to sneak out.
Oh yeah, she's like covering herself with a book or something like that because she's just like super, like, oh, I'm wearing prostitute clothes.
Yeah, and then Mike has to draw everyone's attention to her.
Yep, she's like, oh, and it's like right as she's about to leave, like she's at the door at this point, like so she's almost home free, and it's like, bye, Mrs. Hill.
Bye, Mike.
So they're driving back to the house because Hank's kicking her out and stuff. And, you know, Peggy's upset. It's like, did you even want your GED? She's like, oh, yes, yes, I did. I really, that's why I left OKC. I wanted to go straight, but I wasn't getting paid much at Strickland, and I needed money, and I just fell back to my old habits. But then she like kind of redeems herself because she's like, but I'm, you know, I'm reading Congo. I got to the point where they, you know, they shoot the lasers at the super monkey. So Peggy's like, oh, she is being sincere. Hank's upset because he's like, now I have to go and look at that pervert Lane Pratley, and he thinks I'm a pimp. And then Tammy's like, dude, no one thinks you're a pimp. But if you were, you'd be the best, sweetest, whatever. And I'm like, I kind of agree. Like, I think people who know Hank would probably have a hard time believing that he's actually a pimp.
Oh, yeah. He would make a good pimp. Like, he's got so much heart. He cares for everyone around him. Like, oh, yeah, Hank's a great pimp.
Yep. Unfortunately, I guess an hour has passed and Alabaster rams into their car and he's after them. And so this whole chase scene breaks down. And again, just to show how weird Hank is or whatnot, he thinks he's got Alabaster in a trap. And like Hank stops at a light and he's like, Peggy's like, what are you doing? He's like, don't worry, I got him where I want him. And then he waits till the light turns yellow and then he drives off and the light turns red. And Hank's thinking like, oh, I got him. It's a red light. He's not going to go. But then Alabaster drives right through the red light. And Hank's like, he drove through the red light.
He can't do that. Oh, Hank.
And then he's like, I'm going to try to lose him in the alley. And Tammy's like, you know what? Just pull over. This is not your problem. I'll just go back to OKC with, I'll go back to OKC with him. And, you know, Peggy doesn't want her to do that. Peggy wants a better life for her. And then Hank pulls over and gets out. And, you know, she's about to get out too. But Tammy says, you know, Hank says to Tammy, just, you know, stay there. Hank's going to handle this. And Tammy's like, oh, Alabaster might look like a little guy, but he'll let you up. And Hank, in a very Texas way, is like, no offense, Tammy, but he's from Oklahoma. And then probably like my favorite 3 minutes in the entire 13 seasons of King of the Hill breaks down where Hank comes out. He's like, yo, let's talk business. And he's like, here's all the money I made from Tammy. You can have it. It's like, this feels a little light. Are you stiffing? He's like, I'm the Mac Daddy of Heimlich County. I play it straight up, yo. She's my hoe now. He's like, fine, I got plenty of hoes up in OKC. And then he looks over at Peggy and he's like, how much do you want for the Jasper brunette? And Hank's like, that's my wife. And then he's like, oh man, making one of the biggest mistakes a pimp can make, marrying one of his hoes. And he just drives away. And then Dale looks at him and he's like, oh hey, please don't turn me out, I'm skidding, I'm no good, just ask my wife. And then Hank's like, no, we're all going straight here. The only woman I'm pimping is Sweet Lady Propane, and I'm tricking her out all over this town.
Totally Hank.
Yes. So just that last episode where Hank, those last 3 minutes where Hank acts like a pimp is just funny.
So good. And he actually seems to intimidate Alabaster a bit. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he fooled him with the language or if it was just his attitude, but that was just great.
Maybe he just didn't care at that point. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I think growing up, and I feel like now that I'm getting older, I'm probably going to be that person. But, you know, when you always had like a teacher or somebody who was out of touch, but they were trying to use the kid lingo or whatever. I remember like as a freshman in high school, we had a teacher. He wasn't even really that old. He was probably in his early 30s or something. But he would always get upset and he'd be like, because people like wouldn't do their homework or would slack or whatever. And he's like, you know, I know all you care about is like the new Yo Puff Daddy album coming out or whatever. He said something to that effect. And I was just like, oh my gosh, you are way out of touch.
Yeah, I love that. Where was that Steve Buscemi did that? I'm like, hey, fellow teenagers.
Yeah.
Definitely makes me think of that.
Yeah, I think we've all had that moment. And I feel like I'm getting closer to that age where I'm probably, if I'm not already there, we're probably somebody's probably already thinking that, like, hey, you kids listening to that electronic music and those beats drop or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I still, like, I'll see some threads on Reddit, but I just can't understand. I'm too old. It's going to be like an age litmus test where if you can understand the sentence, then you're younger than 30. I'm definitely going to fail.
Oh, I definitely failed. There was an Ask Reddit a while ago that was like, it was something to the effect of like, what celebrity has ruined their career? And I was like, reading through the thread, I'm like, I have no idea who half of these people are. Like, I had to Google them and like figure out like, okay, so what did this person do? Who was this person?
They had a career and they ruined it, and I missed all of this.
Exactly. who's this person? I have no idea who they're talking about. It's all like, a lot of them are like YouTubers or Instagrammers, and I'm like, oh, well, that explains it, because like, a popular Instagrammer could walk right by me on the street and I'd have no idea. There was a meme that went out a few weeks ago where like Lil Pump was upset. He's like, because he was walking around Japan and nobody recognized him. And I was like, to be honest, I could probably walk right past him in the street and have no idea who he was.
I saw that same thing on Reddit and I like Googled it. I was like, I don't even know who this guy is. Yeah. Like, no. Only would I not have recognized it, but if someone said, hey, that's this guy, I would like, who?
Yeah.
What has he done? I don't know.
Yep. I would have been like, I would have been like, nope. I have no idea who he is. I'm right there with the Japanese people. I would have walked right by him on the street.
Yep. I'm finding as I get older, I'm relating more to Hank than I have in my younger days.
I feel like that's how a lot of cartoons are. Like SpongeBob, for example, people are like, when you're young, you think Squidward is a boring guy or whatnot, but as you get older, you start to identify with him. Like, I'm just trying to have a nice day at home, and my neighbors are just making way too much noise.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I think we all, I remember years ago I had a friend who I watched King of the Hill with when I was still living in San Antonio, and he's like, my life goal is I just don't want to be Bill.
Oh, yeah. That should be everybody's life goal.
Yeah, so I'm like, poor Bill. But yeah, I do find myself, like, especially ever since I bought a place, I do find myself more and more like Hank.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You got to get that propane grill out, too.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's a good question we had on one of our previous episodes. Maybe you have an opinion on it. Do you think Hank would own a 3D printer?
Ooh, I'm going to go with no.
See, that's what I'm leaning towards, too, because of the whole, do I look like I know what a JPEG is, like, conversation? But at the same time, like, you can make some cool things with it. So I could totally see him, like, making random bolts that he needs or something if, like, Bobby taught him how to do it.
Yeah, I could see that. Or maybe if you went to like the one of those tool sharing libraries or whatever, where you can get set up with people who have a 3D printer, I could see him doing something like that. But just having absolutely no understanding or patience to figure out any of the programming aspects of it, the actual running of the 3D printer, no way.
There's no way he would own one, but he'd probably go to like a makerspace or something. That would actually make a good episode of like the new, like if they do reboot it, Hank getting into 3D printing because he wants to make like, maybe he, because, he's the type of person who keeps the same thing for ever and ever. Like, what is there's that one football episode where he's like, oh, I'm going to fix the TV, or he's trying to fix it and to get it ready for the Super Bowl. And Bobby's like, why don't we just get a new TV? He's like, because Americans don't make TVs anymore. This is one of the last great American, like the TV is like one of the last great American TVs. It's like, well, Dad, why don't we just buy one of those Japanese ones? Bobby, go to your room. So like, I could see
that episode totally. If Hank was going to like a makerspace and like initially, he doesn't know how to talk to the kids running the 3D printers and stuff, but then eventually like he becomes like really good friends because he understands the making aspect of it and the actual craftsmanship behind it.
Okay,
I could see that being a transition through an episode.
Yeah, like Hank has was looking for like a very special part for his old TV or something. He just can't find it at the hardware store or even the Megalo Martin. When he's talking to the guys, Dale's like, you should try using a 3D printer or something. It's like, those don't exist, Dale. Or he'll say something like that. And he's like, no, they really are. In fact, they just opened a makerspace in Ireland or something like that.
Of course, Dale will be complaining about it because they're printing some kind of chip that's going to track people and inject into your, you know, or into the kids' milk at the schools or something. That's how Dale's going to know about it.
Oh, yeah. Or Dale's going to say something about, like, you know, they might take our guns away, so I'm learning how to 3D print one, or just something like that. Like, that'd be something Dale would absolutely say.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then also, like, he'd be 3D printing his own guns, and they'd, like, fail miserably and, like, just blow up in his hand or something.
I feel like that would be the B-plot of the episode. Dale, like, trying to make 3D printed guns that aren't metal and can go past metal detectors and selling them, but they're, like, they're essentially glorified paperweights.
Yeah, he'd be getting negative reviews on Etsy or something.
Yeah, that would make the B plot. Mike Judge, if you're listening to this podcast, this one's a free one, but I do want to. This is a free idea, but I want to voice a character.
I just want a credit, you know. Just give me something. Thanks to. That's all I need.
Like, I want to voice the guy who's on the, who's running the maker's lab or something. I don't know.
I'm sure Mike's watching this episode. He's got to be.
Yes, getting ideas for the new show. I guess before we close the episode, here's going to be a real question. Would you feel about them rebooting it? Because I'm on the fence. On one hand, I would love to see new episodes. On the other hand, I'm always worried when they want to whenever they talk about reviving a TV show, especially if the TV show ended on a good note, like on a high note. You like now you remember it as a good show. If they bring it back and it is subpar, then now you're going to remember it as a bad show.
Yeah, I'm really torn on that. Like, I was a huge fan of Futurama and was super upset when it got canceled. And then they did the movies, and I was really disappointed by the movies. Like, I did not enjoy the movies at all. And then I was like, okay, Comedy Central is going to bring it back. It's going to be good again. They're going to fix it. And I was super excited again and, like, watched three episodes, and I was just like, okay, like, either I've grown up too much or the magic is lost. And I'm really worried about that with King of the Hill. Like, I feel like the magic is just lost. There's very little way you can do a Texas comedy show these days without making it somehow political. And part of me just doesn't want the political aspect there. Like, the one political episode I can think of was the George W. Bush and the handshake. Was awesome. It was a great episode. But it was, like, so few and far between any politics came into the show. And I'd just be so worried that the whole thing's going to be political.
Yeah.
Which is probably funny. But, like, I'm just so sick of political things everywhere. Like, any aspect of it, really.
Yeah. I agree. And politics did come up every once in a while, but just like in passing, like there's some, like, what is it, that one gag where he goes to, where Bobby goes off with Buck to Arkansas, and then he drives through Hope, Arkansas. Hank drives through Hope, Arkansas, and the sign says, like, Hope, Arkansas, birthplace of Bill Clinton, and all of a sudden you see, like, Hank locks his doors.
So, like, little things like that, I'm totally cool with. You know, like, that's hilarious. That's funny to me. Like, you know, nothing against Bill Clinton or, you know, anything of that nature and his politics involved. But, like, that's just some light ribbing. And I definitely enjoy that. Like, I feel like there's so many things, even, like, watching the George W. Bush one. Like, I feel like that episode, if it was done now, would just be... It would either be, like, so not representative of at least what I understand Texas to be, which, you know, maybe that's my problem, is maybe I don't understand what Texas is these days, but I feel like it would be unrepresented, or it would just be way too political.
Yeah. I agree. Like, I feel like that was a pretty accurate representation in the episode, more or less. I think maybe Hank was not the most accurate representation. Because I find it funny how he talks about, and actually maybe it's a smart thing because it's talking to, I would actually like to maybe see if Mike Judge has commentary on the episode or whatnot. Maybe it's also talking about how people are like, oh, all I care about is the issues or whatever. But then really that's not it because Hank said all he cared about the issues. But then once he realized that George Bush had a weak handshake, he was just torn about whether or not he could vote for him. So maybe it's the same thing with a lot of people are like, oh yeah, all I care about are the issues. But then they learn something about him or they learn something contradictory or whatnot, but they still stand it. But if you go to most any small town in Texas, it's going to be pretty red. I would imagine Arlen would be the same way. The only small towns in Texas that aren't are in the Valley, which is a large Latin population, as well as some of the small towns that are suburbs to larger towns. So guess it would be pretty representative.
Yeah, that feels very similar to the area that I grew up, is very red. And, it's back then it felt like politics were a little easier to make fun of. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was less dire. I feel like being political is so extreme these days and it's just so depressing. Everything about it is farthest extreme that you can think of now. So I would worry about a reboot getting too political or potentially being, I don't know, just not realistic then. Yeah. Because it probably would be very political if there would actually be a small town Texas or a small town Midwestern neighborhood talking about these items. I don't know.
My guess is they wouldn't. Because Mike Judge has never really liked putting politics in King of the Hill. Yes, you can easily turn around and say, well, Hank's just an average Republican and that's what, but I think the show's really more about Hank is old school and just him trying to learn more about the real world. And some of the times he's right, some of the times he's wrong. Some episodes it turns out that, he was right in the end, and then there's episodes where he adjusts and he learns and he becomes different. And so he becomes accepting. So, I think the season's, the show's less about politics or how somebody's politically aligned and just more about, how a lot of people like Hank Hill from small town Texas are just very, very quote-unquote traditional and whatnot, and how Hank, and Hank has a very non-traditional son. Bobby is nothing like him. Bobby is into pop culture and all that stuff. So that kind of exposes Hank to a lot of this new way of doing things, and having him navigate that is part of the charm of the show.
Yeah, definitely. Seeing Hank just deal with the cognitive dissonance of his world, and especially with his son being that traditional and non-traditional son, is really, it's entertaining. And I feel a lot of Americans can relate to that for sure.
Yep, because Hank loves Bobby. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But Hank secretly wished Bobby would have been more athletic like he was or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the few times when they were able to relate and something, Hank in his traditional and obsessive nature at times kind of ruined it for Bobby in many ways. I forget what it was. The speaking doll.
The dummy.
Yeah. Bobby had the dummy. Yeah. I forget what that episode was. But yeah, that was just where Hank somehow just grabbed onto this weird quirk of Bobby and kind of built his own perfect son and really kind of pushed Bobby away from it. And
yeah, there's quite a few.
Very interesting to watch. I really enjoy those sorts of conflicting episodes.
Oh yeah. There's only a handful of episodes I think where they both love something and it winds up working out. The only two, of the ones we've done so far on the podcast, two that come to mind are Little Horrors of Shop, because, the episode pretty much starts, they never really explore Bobby doing shop again in later episodes, but the episode, it's something they both bond over, liking shop, and then also Meet the Propaniacs, they both somehow find a way to bond over propane comedy.
That's right. That was a great one. That showed a really nice relationship between Hank and Bobby. That was enjoyable. Like, I was also thinking of the gun tournament one where they both shoot together. Yeah. The father son shooting tournament. Like, that one's really good too.
Yep. Or Goodbye Normal Jeans. That's a good example of him adapting, because at the beginning, Hank hates the idea of Bobby taking home ec. And then as the episode continues, Hank loves, like, Hank's accepting that he is able to cook and clean and all that stuff, so.
Yeah, that was a nice turnaround for Hank. That's, you know, shows some growth and picks up that of his child. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but I think that's always been what the show has been more about, more so than like, I think a lot of times people just inject politics into it, but I think Mike Judge Mike Judge purposely avoided it when, like, that's why it just never shows up that much in any of the episodes.
Yeah, I think that's great. And if he can do that again, like with a reboot, more power to him. Like, I think that's awesome. Like, I would totally watch it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he'd want to. Like, I think he's been more, I don't think he'd want to make an episode about what Hank thinks about the Capitol riots or whatever. It'd be like an episode of, like, Bobby is trying to become an Instagram influencer or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or Bill gets onto a dating app, or, you know, it's going to be more pop culture or modern culture, more so than them talk. That's my guess based on how they've made other episodes versus them, like, talking about, like, the politics. Mm.
Yeah, and there's also kind of going back to where I feel like an old man, you know, kids get off my lawn sort of thing, you know, but if Bobby's like putting stuff on TikTok, then like I might lose all interest.
But to be fair, that is absolutely something Bobby would do.
It is. It really is. And like that's kind of disappointing to me. Like, I don't know how I could handle Bobby on TikTok. Like, but it is totally him. It's exactly what he would do.
Because, you know, he wants to be a celebrity. And, like, if Bobby were a Generation Alpha person, I guarantee, you know, 13-year-old Bobby would be on TikTok trying to, like, make jokes or go viral or something like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And Hank would be upset with it because Bobby would be, like, wearing real hats, or he'd be, like, streaming the barbecue or something like that, and... or be trying to stream everything at Strickland Propane while he's, like, interning or whatever over the summer. So, you know, get on Hank's nerves. But then, like, Buck will like it because somehow it's working. Like, it's getting more people to show up to Strickland Propane, so.
Oh, yeah, free advertising for Buck. Of course he'd like it.
Yeah, so then Buck's just, so, like, Buck's going to encourage him to do it more, and then that's how they'll wind up at odds.
Yep. I can totally see that being an episode.
We're helping you out, Mike Judge. We literally just wrote two episodes for you in this podcast.
Yeah, that's like two or three ideas right there, right?
Yep. Well, that's all I have on this episode. Thank you very much for joining us. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add on?
No, yeah. Thanks for having me. This was great.
Cool. Well, next week we are going to be doing The Exterminator, which is actually the very next episode. So if you're like... if anybody is watching this on Hulu or whatever, you just press play and it'll play the next episode and you're good to go. So until then, I am Jason, and have a great day.